The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 28th of July, and you are on the clock with Aaron. We're giving away a free entry to the Great Summer Escape giveaway today, Green. Welcome to On the Clock and Guardian Radio, because Guardian Radio and the Guardian Media Group to send you away for the summer with the Great Summer Escape giveaway. You could win a trip for two, including hotel, car, luggage, and $1,000 cash. All you need is your passport. Just get a Nassau Guardian newspaper, fill out the entry form, drop it in the entry box at the Nassau Guardian in Oaksfield, and tune into Guardian Radio and follow the Nassau Guardian on all social media platforms for your chances to win. The Guardian Media Group Great Summer Escape Giveaway. Deadline to enter August 12th. Drawing August 14th. So today we're giving away a free entry. So what that means is if you win, then the staff at Guardian will complete a form on your behalf and drop it in the box for you. So we're going to do that today, and we are giving the entry, the free entry to, when I say the entry to the fourth caller. We're giving the entry to the fourth caller. I got a question for today. There's so many headlines. I think I want to go. See, I'll tell you what the question I want to ask is. You see today's headlines? Today's headlines. $5.9 million marijuana bust. In Nassau Guardian, it says RBDF and police and U.S. seize 97 bales of hydroponic weed. And the top of, well, not even the top of the Tribune, it is on the Tribune main page, 5.9 in marijuana seized in joint operation. So, the question I wanted to ask was, did you ever smoke when you were young? Did you ever smoke when you were young? And what was your experience? That's a question I want to ask. But I don't know if that's an appropriate question to ask on air, because you got to call in. You have to call in for the win. So the question we're going to ask today is, what did you want to be when you were young? What did you want to be when you grew up, when you were a child? What did you want to be, and are you doing that? Right? What did you, when you were in primary school, middle school, high school, what did you want to be? What was your dream? When the teacher came to you and said, hey, what you want to be when you grow up, what was it that you wanted to be? What career did you want to have or job did you want to have? And are you doing that now? Are you doing that now? Fourth caller wins the prize. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
Hi, good, thank you. Morning.
Boy, you won't believe it, right? Life's so funny, right?
Uh-huh.
I was going to Kingsway Academy, right?
Mm-hmm.
In grade 7, the teacher, they introduce everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And they said that, okay, everyone just stand up and say what they want to be when they grow up, right?
Uh-huh.
You won't believe the first thing your boy said. She asked me to stand up, right, and say, well, oh, so-and-so, stand up and tell everyone what you want to be when you grow up.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to be rich like Uncle Don and Uncle Ben. Now, Uncle Don, right,
uh-huh.
had the very first satellite company in the Bahamas.
Okay.
The man gone crazy.
Okay.
Uncle Ben, he had a construction company on Hard Road.
Okay.
We deal with drawings. You won't believe I ended up being an architect.
Okay, then. So you did realize your dream.
Well, he showed me the very biggest house ever seen before in my whole entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle Don pulled up in, I was young, right?
Yeah.
In 2 S500 Benz.
Uh-huh.
And you won't believe it. Right now, I drive a Benz and I draw.
All right. And so that sort of image of yourself, you saw it. Now, the whole way, were you on that path? Like, you got on that path, and you just...
But you don't believe it. Life's so funny also, right? I always liked to draw when I was younger.
I got you. Listen, I got other callers on the line, but I want you to call back so we could continue the conversation.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to the second caller. Good morning, caller.
I'll put that in at number 4.
Yes, sir. You're number 2.
Number 2. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
I wanted to be an architect. A lot of people say architect.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to be an architect.
Uh-huh.
I was accepted to go off to university, but didn't have the money. So I ended up going out to work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do after not being able to go off to school after I left the government high in June 1970. So my cousin who lived with us, he took me down to a dental place, Caribbean Dental Lab.
Okay.
With Mr. Ernest Manaya, the brother of Frank Manaya, who started the banana boat.
Okay.
He'd come from New York and say, man, open up a dental lab making false teeth, gold teeth, platinum teeth, acrylic teeth, and those stuff, dentures and stuff like that. In the office, it was rather boring for me because I'm more of a people
Sparky,
person.
I got another caller on the line, but let me ask you a question.
I wanted to know. You want some history?
I just wanted to know if what you wanted to be when you grew up and if you achieved that. Right? But it's a competition. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm calling to see if I support caller.
No, not quite.
All right, then. All right.
All right. Got you. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. Am I the fourth caller?
Yes, you are the fourth caller. So don't hang up until you talk to the producer.
Okay.
All right. So you could answer one or two questions. What did you say to yourself you wanted to be when you were growing up, and did you achieve that? Or the second caller is, you ever smoked this weed thing when you was young, and can you tell the difference between regular weed and hydroponic weed? You could answer either of the questions. Okay, good stuff. Answer the first question then.
What's the first question?
What do you wanted to be when you grew up, and did you achieve that?
Oh, no, I would say a carpenter, but the minute I come out of school, I go on straight into sheet metal work, air conditioned.
Okay. Now, you don't see those things as sort of similar?
Not really.
Okay. All right. And you happy with what you're doing?
Yes. I was doing it all my life.
Okay. You teaching others to do it?
Yes. I have someone working along with me so they could catch on.
Right. See, that's what I wanted to ask Sparky, if in the 70s they had an apprenticeship program, like, you know, they had where lawyers could article, and it's almost like they apprentice with lawyers, if they had similar programs for other disciplines at the time in the country. But thank you.
You should always have someone to work along with you so they could catch on. That's why you have to work along with someone in order to catch on.
Yes, sir. Now, don't hang up the phone. The producer's going to take your information so we could fill out the form and drop your entry into the box for the Guardian Media Group Great Summer Escape Giveaway.
Right, okay. Thank you very much. That sounds good.
Now, one quick question. You take in your helper with you if you win, or you take in the family?
Well, I figured I'll run out a little later.
Okay,
then. Get one, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. Thank you so much. Producer, let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry we miss you, producer. Let's get that next caller, please. Please call back, caller. I don't know what happened to the line. Good morning, caller. 1 second. We lost that caller. Okay. So you guys stay tuned every day to Guardian Radio, every show, for your chance to get a free entry. And what that means is somebody can fill out the form on your behalf for you with your information and drop it in the entry box for you to win. All right, so let's get into the headlines. I got two stories I wanted to read today, right? Only because I have some questions and I think they are interesting stories. Before we get there, I'm looking at the headlines, right? 5.9 million marijuana busts. They seized 97 bales of hydroponic weed. And in The Guardian, you see a picture of the guy holding the bag up like he's looking at it. I just want to know how they know it's hydroponic. And let's go to the caller. Just at the end of last week, when we were talking about a lab, full testing, how they know it was hydroponic? How do they know? Does it have a label on it? Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well.
Good, good.
I wanted to be an actor. you know, as a teenager, I hung up with Jackson Brandside and Pat Ramey.
Okay.
I didn't get to go to high school, so you know.
Okay.
You know, I had to change my.
You had to go to work.
I had to change my goals. You know, I became a mechanic.
All right, but ain't nothing wrong with that. Everything right with that.
But the architecture, it kind of stuck with me.
Okay.
You know, I put four roofs on
your home.
On four buildings.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, now I don't know if the second question is kind of relevant. Hydroponics is a kind of late development.
Yeah, it's relatively new.
You know, it seems like that shipment was tracked from the source.
Possibly, maybe they saw the label at the source. Let's like try to figure out what's happening. I wonder how they test it right there when they seized it.
No, it was trapped, you know.
But see, the distinction, I think, is very important.
Yes.
And if we ever continue the conversation about the potential liberalization of cannabis, and I say continue because I am certain that prior to the 2017 election, that little juicy little carrot was swung in the faces of Bahamians, right? I thought it was very bold and disingenuous when it happened to even pretend like there's a chance that the government was prepared to decriminalize cannabis for recreational adult use, right? But nevertheless, they waved the carrot in people's faces, right?
Yep.
Go on.
The problem, I think, you know, what our local problem would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is by the time the legislation is in place, a lot of the options are going to be sewed up tight in terms of who can actually get involved in it.
Right. Once all of the legislation comes into force, there will be limited opportunities for people to obtain licenses.
Very, Very limited.
Because when you're creating an industry, one of the priority issues is the profitability of the industry. So they're going to construct it in a way that guarantees profit for those who have been given access.
And the poor people that most of the politicians claim that they are trying to help,
mm-hmm.
those poor people remain poor.
Yeah.
You know, this is not going to be a ladder up to no place.
Might as well crack a yolk in my face and call it golden.
Well, no. But if a group or a collective can come together.
Like, you know, a cooperative.
You know, it'll be feasible. You know,
yes.
You know, and they can... And they get undercut like all the prices.
Yes, sir. But for the benefit of the Bahamian people.
For the benefit of the Bahamian people, yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Listen, thank you very, okay. very much. So this is a very important conversation, especially for people who consume cannabis regularly, right? There is a significant difference between hydroponic cannabis and organically grown. I can call it organically grown cannabis, right? Now, I want you all to note something. First of all, let's start here. The Guardian headline, they use the word weed, not weed, right? And in the Tribune article, in the headline, they use the word marijuana, right? I thought this was cannabis, right? Didn't we all agree that this was cannabis? Or when it's being moved or handled illegally, is it weed and marijuana? But when you have government authorization, it becomes cannabis? See, that's called marketing manipulation, right? Is it weed? Is it marijuana? Is it cannabis? Anyway, that's not really the point that I want to touch on. Now, I didn't expect these headlines last night when I was preparing my notes. I would have done some research, but one thing we know for certain, right? Hydroponic produce, anything organic, is not grown in soil. Hydro is grown in water. And the nutrients that the plant needs are added to the water, right? To get into the plant. A lot of hydroponic weed is being produced in spaces with very little quality control protocols. And so what people are finding is, in testing the hydroponic weed, there are lots of additives. Just like the difference between growing your own tobacco and drying it, shredding it, and rolling a loose cigarette versus going to a store and purchasing factory-made, factory-produced cigarettes. Those factory-produced cigarettes gonna have over 100 different additives in them. Some got nickel, some got a little arsenic, some got things you find in batteries, right? And similarly, hydro can have additives if not added properly, right? And the proper measures can become toxic to the body and may have the toxins may react differently in other people's bodies. So there is an issue with hydroponic cannabis versus your sort of soil-grown cannabis. But even soil-grown cannabis can be treated with additives, right? But I think at this point now, the word hydroponic is being used as a signifier. Not as necessarily a descriptor, but to signal something else, right? In an attempt to sway public opinions about what's happening. But that's the people, them conversation. It's not my conversation. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
A pleasure in the morning once again.
All right. I don't know what happened, Sparky. Don't watch nothing. Call back tomorrow, man. Call back tomorrow. So there's lots to talk about in the headlines before I get to the two subject matters. Let's go to the phone line. Let's see who that is, producer. We've got a story about the police statue And more importantly, a story about a missing man from Andrews. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, the key thing about the hydroponics is that the level of THC can be
manipulated.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep, absolutely. Okay, yes, sir. Thank you. And so I think we can, I want to say trust, I don't know if that's the appropriate word, the current statistics that there are no documented deaths from cannabis consumption, right? Now, we have when people mix cannabis with other intoxicants, alcohol or narcotics. But more importantly, I think we're seeing an increase in adverse reactions to cannabis because people are smoking hydroponic cannabis, which may have a variety of additives that are reacting poorly in people's systems. Let me go to the text line quickly. We have some texts about that conversation. The text says, hydro has a greener color and a real strong smell. I avoid it because it's seedless and makes me feel ill. I think it's poisonous. Well, there's a question about how what we consume affects us. With Monsanto research, researching the effects of Monsanto seeds, in particular, a patented gene, right, that's been like implanted in Monsanto seed called the Terminator gene. Now, the patent for the Terminator gene at the time was jointly by Monsanto and the U.S. government, right? And what that gene does to a seed is it prevents the seed from the fruit produced by the source seed, the original seed. It prevents that seed from being viable. So you buy a bag of corn kernels, you plant them, you harvest a beautiful full crop of corn, none of the seed you collect. Because remember, olden days people, indigenous people, your great grammy, when they harvest, they would keep half of the harvest for seed for the next season. And they would consume and sell the other half. But you can't save any of the seed anymore because it will not reproduce because of the Terminator gene. And what research showed was that they were observing in cows that ate the feed produced from the seed, and even bees, right? The bees that pollinate with the flowers from the seed, that there was an increase in abortions, like in natural termination. So there was an increase in calf deaths before they were born. And there was a increase in bee deaths in the general area, right? And so we're now questioning not just products that are produced with the Monsanto seed that contains the Terminator gene, but also all seedless fruit. Because how did the fruit get here without seed? How did the fruit get here without seed? And why would it not produce seed? Because that's the natural function of the fruit, is to propagate itself, to ensure that it continues living. So the whole thing just is something that we should attempt to avoid as much as possible. Text says, I think hydroforin is being pushed by the powers that be. Regulars becoming more and more unavailable. Well, one of the texts, I think the same text that you said it, right? It has a real strong smell. What we know is that cannabis is being engineered to make it easier to detect and interdict people who are consuming it. All right, here we go. As a text, I see why. All right, this is a wonderful text. Lady Green, I see why most of your male callers are so smart and highly articulate. It seems like most of these gentlemen had the artist or architect mind or way of thinking where they have to work both the left and right side of the brain simultaneously. Wow, no wonder why these gentlemen are so sharp and brilliant. So I want you to know that we have generations of Bahamians, men and women, right, that have a particular acumen, right? They have a mental capacity beyond expectation because they didn't go to high school or they didn't go to college. But because they had to work with the left side of their brain and the right side of their brain with what they were doing, they were able to develop a cognitive capacity, the ability to think at a high level, right? And I think that we are not giving our young people sufficient experiences to have right brain, left brain operation at the same time, to push them into that space where they develop greater cognitive or thinking capacity. Thank you for that, Texter. We go into a break. When we get back from the break, health preparedness, a very important article, and government seeks U.S. tariff exemption for seafood. We're going to a break. We will be right back. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy. Just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
You need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but no boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy down to like the envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
Boy, ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course. Not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Trafficking in persons or human trafficking is defined as recruiting, transporting, transferring, harboring, and receiving of persons by means of threat or force, abduction, fraud, deception, abuse of power, and giving or receiving of payments or benefits with the aim of exploiting them. It is a criminal offense in the Bahamas that falls under the Trafficking in Persons Prevention and Suppression Act 2008. A person convicted of trafficking in persons can receive sentences ranging from 3 years to life in prison and fines of up to $15,000. If you think someone is a victim of this crime, call Police Emergency at 919 or Crime Stoppers at 328-8477. This message is being brought to you by the Ministry of National Security.
Running low on summer funds? Squeeze every drop of fun out of your summer with Fidelity Personal Loan. From backyard upgrades to family getaways, Fidelity is here to help. Call 356-7764 today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Headed to South Florida soon? Holiday Inn Express in Plantation welcomes you to the heartbeat of Florida fun. Whether it's business or pleasure, the Holiday Inn Express is close to sensational shopping, captivating dining, and nightlife. Elevate your Florida experience. Sleep well and rest easy at Holiday Inn Express. complimentary breakfast buffet featuring seasonal favorites. Keep up your fitness routine in our 24-hour on-site fitness center with cardio equipment and free weights, or take a refreshing swim in our outdoor pool. Your special Bahamas tourist rate awaits. Holiday Inn Express, 1701 North University Drive, in Plantation. Book your getaway now. Call directly at 954-472-5600 or the sales department for reservations and additional information.
At a quarter of nine, every weekday, a kiss goodbye, and I'm on my way. Working for the man, for my salary, got to provide for my family.
Good morning, welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Producer, that's the godly boy from Abaco. That's Eddie Minnis. Eddie Minnis used doing disco music too. Man, I love it. I love it. I love it. Let's go to the phone line quickly because they've been flashing red for a moment, and then we're going to get back into the show. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine. I just saw something, and I know this is up your alley, and you're the only one who care about our street.
Mm-hmm.
It's a piece of pipes by, I just passed Gray Cliff.
Okay.
And it's a piece of pipe sticking out the ground. And what makes it so bad, what caught my attention, the man is walking with a challenged child.
Mm-hmm.
And the child almost tripped on it. It's a good thing he's holding the child's hand. Mm-hmm. And we send these people out to do things, and they don't ever do nothing right. That little boy, if he wasn't holding his daddy's hand, he's going to fall and hit his face.
Now, this is on,
heading, on the hill.
Right, heading down Cumberland?
No, going over there, going north.
Going north, okay.
And you're right before you turn for Gray Cliff.
I got you right there. Okay.
Yeah, man, this little bit, and a sharp piece of pipe.
You know what? You know why? Because the people them don't stop at the red light there. They just go and turn left on right.
This is in the sidewalk.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is you would think with the number of civil servants that are moving through the streets of Nassau every day, somebody would notice it, right? And then report it to the relevant agency. But I get I have a sneaky suspicion that these people don't be watching nothing but their phones while they're driving.
And one more thing.
Yes, sir.
Because only you talk about this thing. Could you please tell them, go on Milo Butler Highway and fix them lights and the railing. On East Street of Soldier Road going north, as soon as you pass the gas station,
mm-hmm.
it was a sign there. Somebody knocked the sign down, and the pipe is now leaning towards the traffic.
Yeah.
So somebody swerved. That piece of pipe is going to come through your engine or your windshield,
mm-hmm.
and only God knows what happened.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much
for
that.
I don't know why they give these people these jobs, who really had no training, man. They just get these contracts and they don't care.
Yeah, it's maddening.
All they want to do is make the money, and you can see the houses. Only you and I see these things.
I'm telling you, it's like it. It's like only seven of us could see the things.
Yeah, only you and I. So only you, I could tell these things when I see them, and I'm a citizen, a concerned citizen.
Thank you.
Trying to make our place a better place.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Let's go to the next caller quickly, and then I'm going to read this story about the most recent traffic fatality. Good morning, caller.
Well, hey, Aaron, let's put it this way. I've tried just about everything. I'm currently putting together a little Netflix script, see if I can present mm-hmm. that to some producers. I trade. I do a little data entry. You notice I sent you curious information as to how come I could withdraw $5 and a couple cents from the ATM machine.
Yeah, let me ask the question out loud, right? Why would, when I get my receipt for my withdrawal at the ATM, right?
No, you don't get it on the receipt.
It's on your statement.
Yeah.
Why, when I get a statement for my account usage, right, does it indicate an amount that has coins, right? Like, why I can't withdraw 52 cents? From the
ATM?
You
can't withdraw $5 either. You can't withdraw $45.52.
Yeah.
So that $5.52 is the number that I picked up.
Yeah.
That's probably been going somewhere to someone in the bank.
Well, listen, before we go there.
Yeah, you want us to leave that one alone. Let's talk about
what I'm
doing.
No, what I'm saying is, let us say it for the purpose of maybe getting it to the financial ombudsman, right? Whose job it is to look into matters like this. I don't know if a new financial ombudsman has been appointed yet since the change in administration, because it ain't the same, even though it looked the same. It ain't the same.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same, but it ain't the same.
But yeah, well, you know, let's just see where that goes after he writes his report. But Aaron, I'm also currently attempting to write a Python script to put all CPAs out of business, because I believe in the age of AI, which is, you know, artificial intelligence and artificial ignorance, I think we're going to have about 30% to 40% of jobs being completely replaced.
Okay.
Because you're going to get more honesty, you know, because most accountants are either drunk or they... But I'm saying you're going to get more honesty from the script.
Well, we're hoping that AI-driven technology and, like, blockchain technology will provide the elements we need to eradicate corruption entirely.
And that's exactly the script I'm attempting to place
into
the world. It's pretty soon, because I'm working with a CPA that he's teaching me. And listen, boy, listen, once you could program and you got the person giving you the data,
yeah, then you'd be good
surprised
to go.
How creative you could be.
Yes, sir.
So I tried everything. I tried to read. I tried to grow the hydroponics, too. But, you know, I can't talk too much about that.
Yeah, because you tried to grow in a jurisdiction where it was legal to grow. Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It is legal to grow, eh?
With authorization from the relevant authorities. It was legal to grow cannabis before the Cannabis Compendium, the 11 new bills to create an industry. It was legal to grow with authorization. They call it cultivation. With authorization from the relevant authorities. That's why some people are saying that this new legislation is about creating an industry and not necessarily about liberating a particular space. All right. I want to knock out as much of this as possible. I think this is an important headline. Today's Tribune: family pleads for police help in Andrus search. The family of missing Andrus resident Antonio Dodo Bastian is pleading for additional police resources from New Providence as the search for the 45-year-old enters its second week with no sign of him. Mr. Bastian was last seen on July 13th walking along the Queens Highway between Love Hill and Fresh Creek. His sister, Hannah Mott, said he had been traveling to see a doctor before he disappeared. Ms. Mott said her brother experiences seeing things, receives injectable medication, and had previously been treated in Sandlin's Rehabilitation Center. She said he had been making good progress since leaving the facility and earned money washing cars. The family became alarmed after Mr. Bastian failed to return home on July 14th. He was reported missing to police on July 16th after relatives waited 48 hours. Ms. Mott said her brother would only, quote, once in a blue moon, go for periods without contacting relatives, and it was highly unusual for him to remain away from home for so long. Okay, I want to just stick a pin right there and say, okay, obviously we need a protocol change, right? If the person who is suspected missing is documented as being or having been a client of Sandlin's Rehabilitation Center or have been documented or diagnosed or prescribed, right, medication for a mental unwellness, right, or diagnosed with a mental condition, surely we're not going to wait 48 hours before we accept a missing person's report. Let's change that protocol right now. This man is a vulnerable person. Now, I am not, I can be honest with you, I'm speculating. I get the impression that maybe they had been told before you need to wait 48 hours, right, to report him missing because he's an adult, but I'm going to say he's a vulnerable adult and maybe we need to change the protocol through legislation, right? Maybe this should have been a Marco alert because of the nature of his status as a vulnerable person. Anyway, the family have shared contact information. They say if you have any information regarding his whereabouts, please contact 828-0878. 828-0878. Now, before we go, these some headlines here that I just thought were wow. Man charged with fatal shooting. So we on page 3 of The Guardian. Prosecutors appealed decision to grant bail to man who allegedly skipped 115 court sign-ins. I want to talk about some other stuff, right, but this. A man accused of violating the terms of his bail by skipping 115 police station sign-ins and disregarding his curfew remains behind bars as prosecutors appeal a magistrate's decision to grant him bail again. Prosecutors allege that while on bail for armed robbery, Paul missed multiple court-ordered check-ins at the Elizabeth Estates Police Station and failed to keep his curfew between January 2nd, 2026 and July 19th. I remember the minister, in fact, I'm working on a zine right now. I remember the minister saying something like, he's now the AG, he's no longer the Minister of National Security, saying like, why would somebody need to check in if they have on an ankle monitoring bracelet, an ankle monitor, right? And I would just like to say, throw both of the systems away. Throw them in the bush. Tie it up in a brown paper bag. Practice some Obear on it so it don't ever get out the bag again. Because why, year after year after year, are y'all playing with us? What's going on? And you know what the most hurtful part is? I suspect that the companies that are bidding, right, to operate the ankle monitoring system are either owned by police officers or have police consultants working on their behalf or for them. What you mean 115 times the boy didn't sign in and the prosecutors have to appeal the decision to grant him bail? Let's go to the phone line. I need a moment to... Morning, caller. How are you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
The gentleman you was talking about, I think, is in Andhra.
Yes, Mr.
Was he showing signs of cognitive challenge?
I think the family indicate that he has done, right, that sometimes in medication or he's been prescribed medication to manage, right?
Okay. My concern with that is that I think the government as a whole, and I'm not just saying this government, but mm-hmm. it should have been done a long time ago, mm-hmm. that at the age of 3, just like, well, when these children are going into a school, mm-hmm. they have a medical test. They have to present and medical information. Mm-hmm. I think they also need to have a testing done at 3. And the reason I say 3 is because mm-hmm. if there are slight challenges, you may be able to make some corrections before, or, you know, the earlier you find out, the better. Mm-hmm. And there are systems in schools where you have students are being tested. If teachers detect that, okay, something is going on, mm-hmm. and they question it, they are tested. But a lot of parents are saying, okay, I don't want my child to get the professional care or go into the professional special ed schools that they mm-hmm. can get the assistance, and the public know who you are, so mm-hmm. that we can assist you or we can be there for you if there is a problem. So a lot of persons are operating with cognitive challenges and society doesn't know and they don't pay close attention to you because parents hold these things. Not every parent. Some mm-hmm. parents want their children to be tested, but most parents are holding their children dear to them. Oh, I don't want them to be scarred. I don't want
stigmatized.
Them to be teased or whatever. But yeah. the government has to change that and say, hey, listen here, this is mandatory. If their child has been tested, it's best for the child. Just like if your child is found to have some kind of skin disease, it's best for the child to stay home until that disease is gone. It's best for your child to be placed in the proper care that will benefit them until society knows how to work with the parent and help that parent as a village or, mm-hmm. you know, the family as a village to help those children.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that this is the case with that young man. I'm yeah. just saying, your Andras tend to be tight. Tightly knitted type, you know, group of yeah. persons, and they probably all know what the situation is. But in New Providence here, it's like everybody is hiding, and they don't want you to know. And later on, when children grow up and parents would have passed away, then who's going to assist your child if they didn't know that was an issue?
Yeah.
So that's my 2 cents.
Absolutely, ma'am. I think the gentleman is older than a teenager, but what you're saying needs to be considered at the policy level. Right? And how do we shift culture? How do we shift the culture, right, of stigmatization around mental health so that parents can trust that accessing these services for their kids will not stigmatize them, will not result in them being made pariahs by society, but will help to create a community that parents can trust will take care and look after those kids. Here's the next thing. And this may sound callous, right? But there are a lot of people with cognitive disabilities and a lack of cognitive capacity sufficient to properly operate a motor vehicle in the public roadway. Yesterday, I was on Mackey Street heading north to Shirley Street. We are the third car on the line. Our light is red, but we know it's about to turn green because how the traffic is moving. And then we hear the siren. It's an ambulance. It's on Shirley Street heading west. Our light turns green, but we all wait, as we should do. The ambulance passes. The car at the front of the line does not move. We cycle all the way through the green light, back to red. The car, I think the car, no, they didn't turn. They were nice. They didn't turn on the red, I don't think. Maybe they did. But the point is, were you so startled by having to not move your car because of an ambulance that you needed to take that much time to gather yourself to be able to drive again? You don't have the capacity to drive a vehicle if that's the case. And it's sad because so many people will lose their autonomy because of a lack of public transportation and policies that consider the real needs of the citizens. But we got a lot of people who should not be driving behind the wheels of cars, and the police refuse to pay attention to it. Good morning, caller. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm waiting for you to talk about the incident with the traffic fatality yesterday.
Cowpen Road, I got the story right here. You want to go on or you want me to read it?
No, I mean, I could call back and then I want to give my take.
Stay on the line.
Okay.
Police are investigating an accident that occurred yesterday, Monday the 27th, which claimed the life of a 52-year-old man. According to the preliminary report, shortly after 7:15 a.m., officers responded to a traffic accident on Cowpen Road, where they found an unconscious male pedestrian lying in the roadway. Emergency medical personnel were at the scene rendering assistance before the victim was transported to the hospital. Despite efforts to save his life, he later succumbed to his injuries. The investigation indicated that the victim was walking north along an unnamed road off Cowpen Road when he was struck by a white van. The driver reportedly left the scene following the collision, but at approximately 12:30 afternoon, a female driver presented herself to the Carmichael Road Police Station and reported that she was involved in the accident. Go on, sir.
Yes, I love how you read it. It's not. Do you know the laws when it comes to when do someone leave a scene? Because there's a video.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure of certain bad situation that happened.
Yeah, I saw the video.
But I can't blame that on potholes, like the MP of St. Anne's. I can't blame it on Harbor Road. It appears to me you hit something, you did not stop. This is not the night. This is not dark. You're not fair for your life.
It was like you panic. But,
yeah, but
let's be careful.
4 hours later, ma'am, I need to know what the law is that says that when you hit something, you leave the scene and the excuse you use so you fair for your life. Explain it to me.
I got you. It's if you leave the scene of an accident, it's called a hit and run. And I'm
not sure
if presenting yourself after the fact
will
change that part. You may get charged with that. The court may consider that you subsequently turn yourself in the sentencing. You know what I'm saying? The prosecutors may consider that in offering you a plea deal. But I think that's called a hit and run. Yes, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. And I just wanted to make sure that's an evidence, according to the video. That's an actual hit and run. You can't plead that up.
Oh boy, listen, let's pray that when people get behind the wheel of a car, that they appreciate and acknowledge the awesome responsibility that they're taking on. And they stop this, thank you very much, caller. They stop this foolishness about why are you speeding? Why are you on your cell phone making 12 miles an hour in double lane next to someone making 12 miles an hour while it should be obvious to you that there are cars behind you attempting to pass? Why are you demanding that other drivers accommodate you as you break the law? And that's all these Bahamian drivers are doing. And all the police are doing is nothing. Absolutely nothing. I refuse. Like, how dare you look me in my face and suggest that I am in the wrong because I refuse to accommodate you running a red light or running a stop sign or jumping the sidewalk, or ignoring a pedestrian on the pedestrian crossing, or on your cell phone, or just stop your car in the middle of the road because you forget where you were going, or you miss your turn and you want to reverse into oncoming traffic. Why should I accommodate that? And why are the police demanding that we accommodate that? Instead of us demanding that the police do their job. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds. Sorry, I miss you, caller. Okay, so there were two stories I wanted to talk about, two sets of stories. We can talk about them tomorrow. So get your questions ready. Is this government taking action on U.S. tariff situation, right? And I'm trying to figure out if we have an additional 2.5% tariff because of a lack of legislative protocol to restrict goods made with slave labor, forced labor, right? Like, what exactly are the goods that you're talking about if the vast majority of the goods imported into the country come through the Bahamas? I mean, come through the U.S. If they come through the U.S., then what happened? Who in the U.S. didn't, right? Like, anyway, what I'm saying is, what is it? Is it Cuba again? Now we can't import the souvenirs and the cigars from Cuba? I want you to juxtapose that to the unwillingness to reveal the names in the Epstein list with real accusations of sex trafficking and child sex exploitation. I just want to juxtapose. We getting this extra 2.5%. So that's the first story we could talk about tomorrow. The next one is this. Health preparedness. Prime Minister Philip Davis was briefed by senior health officials on the Bahamas' implementation amendments to the international health regulations aimed at strengthening the country's public health preparedness. Health officials discussed the proposed establishment of a national IRH, that's the International Health Regulations Authority, within the Office of the Prime Minister to coordinate a whole-of-government response during public health emergencies, while the Ministry of Health and Wellness would remain the country's technical public health authority. The ministry said the amendments developed from COVID-19 pandemic and other global health emergencies are intended to improve the country's ability to detect, coordinate, and respond to public health threats. Come in, producer, come in. I was talking about this last year. This is the story. This one right here. This is it. If ever we were to call our politicians to account to tell us what they are doing, it's this right here. We can talk about it tomorrow. Thank you, producer. Thank you, callers. Thank you, texters. Sorry I didn't get to all the texts. Have a great day, Bahamas. The wife says,
honey, honey, honey. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.